Welcome everyone to ENBC at Home. Great to have you joining us today.
Morning, Mark. Morning, church family.
Yeah, David and I are here in the church office. And I was saying to David, you know, it is tough, you know, and I'm sure we're all finding it tough. Just now, here we are looking into the camera again, once more, recording today's service. And you know, it is just important, though, that we keep doing what we're meant to be doing and following the guidelines. And under this current lockdown, we are still allowed to kind of broadcast services. So that's why David and I are here today. It is important to say, though, that the church office is closed. So please do not come down to the church office expecting to see someone. We've only come in here this morning to record this service. We're all now working from home, as I'm sure many of you are working from home again as well. So, but it's still great. We're here, we're recording, and we just trust that today's service is an encouragement to you in your life.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And as Mark was saying there, you know, we appreciate the weeks that lie ahead are going to be incredibly challenging. So it's all the more reason for us to be looking out for each other. And we just want to encourage the church family to be doing that, just to be, you know, thinking about those that are maybe more on their own, or folks that come to your mind that you maybe just want to pick up the phone or drop a text or send a card. We're also aware that, you know, being online again is a challenge for many of us as well. And it's not the ideal for us, but we just want to be encouraged to use this platform over these next few weeks, because we don't have anything else. And again, you know, if you're in need and you need help, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us.
Yeah, I mean, definitely we are here for you to help where we can. And some other bits of church news. You'll remember a few months ago we co-opted Izzy Marshall and Mark Whitelaw onto the senior leadership team. And we're pleased to say that we've now co-opted Darren Callaghan onto our senior leadership team as well. So it's great to see new people coming onto the team, and do keep them and the whole senior leadership team, please, in your prayers. We value that greatly. Also, to bring to your attention, I know a number of us are using Simon Gilbo's book, Choose Life, in our devotions this year ahead. And Duncan Barker has got I think he's got about four copies of that book still in the ENBC bookshop. So if you're needing a copy, then get in touch with Duncan. And if you don't know how to get in touch with Duncan, then you can get in touch with him through one of us. And there are copies there that you can pick up. And those of you using that will know that this week, one of the verses was Psalm 24, verse 1. Which in many ways, and we were being encouraged to be reminded that, you know, we're global Christians, you know we have that worldwide outlook, and remember that it's not just about our own wee place and our own setting, but God calls us into all the world, and we're going to, with that in mind, we're going to show a clip from BMS now, just as a way of reminding us all that across the world, this pandemic has brought struggles to different people. So let's watch the clip together.
The world is united by an enemy. A virus that is stealing lives and spreading fear. For years to come, we will be remembered for how we responded. For staying home and protecting our communities. And also for loving our global neighbours. We will be remembered for praying, for giving, to help them respond. In Afghanistan, Nepal, Mozambique, Sri Lanka, Chad, Albania, and across the globe, for feeding the hungry, for counselling the sick, for providing protective equipment on the front lines, for helping to stop the spread. Remembered for being united, together. Remembered for standing in solidarity. The world is hurting, and we can help. BMS World Mission is responding to the coronavirus pandemic. We're helping to coordinate the global Baptist response, and we're doing it now, in the name of Jesus. You can be a part of it. You can stand in solidarity with people around the world fighting coronavirus and feeling its effects. You can look back on this time and know that you did everything in your power to help. You can respond today.
It was good to see that clip from BMS, and often really helpful for us to lift our eyes beyond ourselves to see what else is going on in the world, and again to appreciate the work of BMS. We're coming to a point in our service now where we're going to enter a time of worship, and then following that, Mark's going to bring the work to us today. So why don't we take a moment now just to be still and to quieten our hearts and to pray to God before we lead into that part of our service. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're thankful afresh for who you are. Father, help us to lift our eyes today and set our minds on things above. But as we look at you and think in you, Lord, we go to a different place that is beyond the present struggles that we face. And we thank you, Father, that we can do that. But we also thank you that you're a God who walks with us through the struggles and challenges of life. And as we come and bring our worship to you today, we just do that, Lord. Whatever we face in our personal lives and what we're facing as a nation and what the world is facing just now, that we can still come and bring you worship and glory and honour because you deserve it, Father. And in these times, we pray that you would just help us to keep hanging on and there with you in our faith and know your presence with us daily. Father, we just thank you for those that lead us in worship as we enter that time, just in a few moments. And we just pray, Lord, your blessing on Mark as he brings the word to us today as well. So, Lord, help us to open our hearts to you now as we give to you what you truly deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray as we come to worship. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into your presence at this time in our homes. We want your spirit to indwell our worship, and we just want to meet you at the foot of the cross this morning. We just ask that as we listen to the word and as we worship, your spirit will move in our lives in a powerful way. And we just want to invite you to worship with us at this time, Holy Spirit. We ask this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are. Tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will.
Lord, you are.
Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, you are an amazing God.
And I love you. I love you.
And I love you. I love you.
Thank you to our worship team there for leading us in that time of worship together. Last week, Rory was preaching from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Rory was suggesting, and I would probably agree with him, that it's the most well-known verse in the Bible. That being said, the psalm that we are in today probably gives that verse a run for top spot. We're going to be in Psalm 23. And we're going to look at four words from that psalm. He refreshes my soul. That sounds good, doesn't it? And this is what God wants to do in your life today. First thing I'm going to do, though, is read the psalm to you. Remember, this psalm was written by David. David, as many of you know, was a shepherd boy, anointed by God to become king of Israel. You can read about him in the books of Samuel and Chronicles. In fact, his name's mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. And he wrote many of the psalms that we read. But let's read together now Psalm 23. And let's hear God's word in our life today. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a tremendous psalm that draws so many of us in. The words bring deep comfort and strength to us, to our lives. The poetical pictures of green pastures and quiet waters and dark valleys and a shepherd who cares for us are pictures that we can easily relate to. It's a psalm that reminds us of the goodness of God. He's our shepherd, therefore we lack nothing. And the psalm expounds the care that we receive from God. It's a psalm that celebrates the glory of God. Verse 3, for his name's sake, that basically means for his glory. But this psalm is also a psalm where we see a rhythm to life that we all experience, the rhythm of change. The psalm reminds us that we should expect change. I mean, look again at your Bible if you've got it open in front of you. There's green pastures and still waters. That sounds lovely. But then that changes to a valley of darkness. That does not sound as nice. Changes to a table in the presence of our enemies, anointing, and changes to, when we think about the goodness of God's love in our life all the days, a change with a future outlook at the end. We should live expecting change. And the four words we come to look at today are all about change. He refreshes my soul. Let me just look at these two key words, refreshes and soul. And then we're going to look at some points that we can take away and apply into our lives today. Because, see, God is constantly active in your life. And he's constantly looking to turn our lives around and change us. But first of all, these two words. And the first word, of course, is refreshes. That can mean renew, restore. Some translations even use the phrase convert. It comes from a word that can often be translated can be translated repentance, that which means to return home, to come back, to turn, to repair. And David is using this word to describe the action of God in our lives, you know, turning our lives around. David may well have had in mind memories of his days as a shepherd, going looking for the sheep. Maybe they'd wandered onto the wrong path, and he was bringing them back, turning them around, back onto the right path. And certainly the words that come after this in Psalm 23 would support this, where he says, "He guides me along right paths for his name's sake." And though a sheep had gone onto the wrong path, and they're brought onto the right path. Now, if you're like mine, probably immediately your mind's starting to think about in the Gospel of John, how Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd. Maybe you've gone to Luke 15 and the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd goes looking for that lost sheep. But this word, refresh, it captures for us something of the heart of God. God is looking for us. God cares for us. God changes us. God looks to turn our lives around. Our second word then is this word, soul. Now, our understanding of this word is heavily influenced by Greek philosophy that sees the soul as something separate from the human body. But that is not what this word means in the Old Testament Hebrew language. The word here in Hebrew for soul is nephesh. It's used 700 times in the Bible in many different ways. For example, it can be used to describe the throat and you know, Numbers 11 verse 6. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but manna. They're fed up with manna. That phrase, lost our appetite, contains the word nephesh. You know, our throat is dried up. We've lost our appetite. But then you go to Psalm 119, verse 175. Let me live that I may praise you. Nephesh is used in this verse. It's basically saying, let my nephesh live that it may praise you. And what this verse reminds us of that is really important is when we're talking about nephesh, it's your life. It's not something you have, it's who you are. You know, Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. You know, that's talking about your whole being, your nephesh, longing for God. It's a word that describes life then. You know, Genesis 2, verse 7, God breathed into man and man became nephesh, living being. I need to stop. This gets me really excited. But I know most of you are listening thinking, Mark, can we leave the Hebrew class now? But these two words, he refreshes as God's activity, my soul in your life. So let's move on now and think what these four words then can mean for us today. And the first thing, and we look at it in the context of the Psalm, the first thing we need to be aware of is that our lives get turned over. Here is David writing about God as our shepherd. We come into God's care, we come into his family, we lack nothing. Why does my soul then need restoring? Well, David, who wrote Psalm 23, also wrote many other psalms. Psalm 22, listen to some of the words from this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Jumping down to verse 6, I am a worm, I'm not a man, I'm scorned by everyone, I'm despised by people. All who see me mock me, they hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. Or Psalm 42, my soul is downcast within me. David knew what it was like for his life to get turned upside down. Remember, David had been a shepherd. And as a shepherd, one of the most dangerous things that could happen to one of your sheep was that they would roll over on their back and not be able to get back up. And I can remember the first time I saw this as a young boy. I think it was in late primary school, and I was backpacking with my dad, with other men from Westwood Baptist Church, and we came upon a sheep. It had been a really wet day. And we came upon a sheep. I think its fleece had got so wet and so heavy, it had rolled over, and it was just lying there with his legs up in the air, and actually it would have died in that if it had been left like that. And some of the guys rolled it back over and tried to feed it just to get some energy back into it. And this is something that a shepherd looks out for. If a sheep is missing, often in their mind they're thinking, has it been attacked or has it rolled over? And it isn't just something that maybe happens to sickly sheep. Often some of the healthiest and strongest sheep with really good fleeces, they can maybe lie down in a nice soft bit of grass and a nice summer day and gravity just takes over and they roll over and they're stuck. But a shepherd, though, is deeply invested in looking out for the sheep that gets turned over. And God is deeply invested in looking out for us, because we get turned over. David, you hear that in those other Psalms that I was reading. You know, David talks about it, you know, he's turned over by attacks against him. We might call that external circumstances. When you read about his life, he's turned over at times by his own choices that he makes, which were not always good. He's turned over at times by his own inner doubts and his emotions and negative thoughts that he has. And this things, you know, things happen to us that take our fear away. You know, I shared with you before, you know, last time we were in Australia, we had to go surfing way, way harder than it looks. And many times I managed to get up on the board and I thought, yeah, and then 1-2 seconds most, whoosh, wiped out, tumbling in the waves. And if I'm honest, I think when I look back on the journey we've been on since March, at times I've just felt like I've been getting back up on my feet and then boom, wiped out. You know, the announcement just last week again about us back in lockdown, it came to many of us, it came like that, just feeling like we were wiped out again. We're like, okay, you know, we need to go through this again. Why do our souls need restored, refreshed, renewed? We get turned over. Circumstances, actions, emotions. But praise God, these four words are good news for us. Second point, yes, we get turned over, but God turns us back onto our feet. God is the shepherd, looking out for us, looking to restore us, active in our lives. This psalm begins with these amazing words, "The Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing." You know, that talks about the relationship that we have with God. And David, in this whole psalm, he's understanding his relationship with God for how a shepherd cares for his sheep. You know, a shepherd will take his sheep to places of rest. And he knows that, you know, God at times will take us to places of rest. And let's be honest, sometimes in our lives we get turned over because we're just tired and we're needing rest. And, you know, things that wouldn't usually affect us do because we're tired and we're just needing to find that place of rest. And God will lead us at times into those places of rest to restore us and bring us back onto our feet. Often in the place of rest is where we hear God's voice. You know, Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." But when God looks to restore us, one of the most powerful and most important ways that he does that is through us hearing from him. As we're opening his word, as we're listening, God guides us onto those paths, those right paths, and leads us on as we hear from him. You know, when I look at my life, you know, God has guided me onto the right path. Why? Because I've been listening to him. And at other times I've gone down wrong paths because I've made wrong choices. At other times I've gone down wrong paths because I've been disobedient to God. But he looks to keep us upright in our lives through his listening and walking the path that he has for us. So God restores us as he guides us onto a better path. He restores us through his presence with us. You know, we've looked at this a lot over the last few months, but you know, what is the promise in the dark valley? He is with us. His presence, what does that do? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we could go on and on about this, but the point is this: God has the power to turn your life around and put you back on your feet. This is why Jesus came. This is why he's our good shepherd. Throughout all our lives, you know, what we can drift, we can lose our way, you know, things can happen in our lives, decisions, circumstances out with our control. But what we're seeing in this psalm is that God's heart is to bring you back to him. This is his heart for you. This is his activity in your life as he seeks to refresh and restore and renew your life. You know, we all need to be careful, because I was reminded just as I was thinking about this week of a story about sheep that my father-in-law once told me. And sheep, on the whole, are actually pretty daft animals. And my father-in-law told me a story one time when he was a boy up in Skye, and one of the sheep had got stuck in the cliffs. And it had gone right down the cliff to just get to this nice bit of green, grass. And it had wandered down and it had got stuck. And so they had to lower someone down, put a rope on it, and get it back up. And when it came back up, the crofter said, we need to take it and put it in another field. And someone had asked the question, why do we need to put it in another field? To which the crofter had said, if it's left in the same field, it will just go straight back down the cliff to that same spot and get stuck again. You know, God comforts us, God speaks to us, God strengthens us, God reveals to us ways we should go. He's active in our lives, but we've got a part to play as well. We need to make sure we're not like the daft sheep that goes back and does the same thing again. And this takes us to our third point this morning. We need to practice repentance. Now, we get turned over like sheep. We can end up on our back. Things happen in life. And God is active in our life. God seeks to bring us back up. And he's got the power to do that. It's the whole mission of Jesus' life. He brings us back to him. But each of us in our day-to-day lives, we've got something we can do. And we can practice repentance. Repentance means to be refreshed. It means to be restored. It means to turn around. Now, let's just put this out there. Repentance gets a really bad rap. I mean, we often associate it with beating ourselves up or feeling shame or feeling failure. But actually, repentance is a life-giving practice. It is soul-renewing. It is nephesh-giving. It gives us life. And repentance was central to the teaching of Jesus. You know, repent, Jesus would say, for the kingdom of God has come near. You know, Peter, when he stands up in Acts 3 in front of thousands of people and he speaks so clearly about Jesus' death and resurrection, and then he says to them in verse 19, repent then and turn to God. There's that action of repentance so that your sins may be wiped out and at times of refreshing may come from the Lord. This is not a one-time act. When I gave my life to Jesus, repentance was there. I was turning from an old way of life and turning to God and asking God to forgive my sins and to come into my life and lead me on into all that he had for me. But this act of repentance remains an everyday activity of coming back. You know, I was thinking about during the week about the story of the prodigal son. And actually, one of the things that we miss sometimes in that story is the great act of repentance that takes place. Because what does the son do? He goes away, he spends all his money, he gets into a right mess. But he leaves that. He leaves the place that he's in. And he turns and goes home. That was an act of repentance. He comes home to the father who embraces him. You know, the longer he stayed away, the more his heart and his life was crashing. But when we repent, we're coming back to God. And we see from what Peter says that refreshing comes. You know, there's a wonderful picture also in Luke 15 of the prodigal son of renewal. You know, a new robe is brought, new shoes is brought. You know, just a picture of just restoration in that young man's life. Often we think about repentance being about fixing the past, but actually it's about fixing us for the future and all that God wants for our lives. So how do we repent? Well, let's not make this complicated. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's good maybe just when we get near the end of the day to sit down and think, you know, God, where did I hear your voice this day? Where did I stay on the path, or where did I step off the path? And just saying sorry and receiving forgiveness, but also committing to say, you know, God, I look back today and I see how I stepped off the path there. You know, I'm not going to go back down the cliff to that spot tomorrow. I'm going to stay on the path that you've got for me. Repentance. It's not about fixing the past. It's about fixing us. It's about us getting right with God as we go on into all the future he has for us. Let me just try and bring this all together. He refreshes my soul. God is active in your life. And, you know, we get turned over, you know, circumstances, things we do, when the list just goes on and on, but God has the power to turn us back over onto our feet. He's got the power to do this. I mean, think about Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies for the sin of the world. He's laid in a tomb. That seems like a completely hopeless situation. God turned it around. On the third day, he rose again. Resurrection power that is at work in your life and my life. But we're not robots. We've got a part to play. And repentance is about us coming back and saying we're sorry and committing ourselves to getting right for the future. So God wants to bring refreshment into your soul today. And, you know, there was just a couple of things that God just laid on my heart to share, a couple of pictures, and maybe you'll connect with these, and then we'll just spend some time just in prayer. But one of the pictures was of a washing machine. And just that sense that for many of us, we feel like we've just been in this constant, you know, during this pandemic, we just feel like we're getting spun about. We don't even have time to try and stand on our feet. It's just been such a hard and difficult time. And God just wants to assure you today that he's with you, and he has the power to enable you to break out of that cycle of just feeling that you're constantly getting spun about, and for you to experience renewal and refreshing in your life. I think for some of us, you know, maybe listening today, you maybe just feel that your walk with God has just maybe grown a bit stale. You know, you're getting tired of watching me on a phone, or, you know, you're getting tired of, you know, all the online stuff. You just want to be meeting with people. You know, we just got some of the life groups that decided to just meet up again. And I think some of them only managed to meet up once, and then we were back down. And you're just like, oh, what, you know, and you're just, you know, maybe just feeling you're struggling with your own personal walk with God. But remember that these four words are good news for you today. He refreshes your soul. God is looking to be active in your life. And just don't, you know, just acknowledge with God, you know what, I know I'm not where I'm meant to be. Help me get back to where you would want me to be, because I know that's your heart for me. You know, I think, you know, sometimes like the sheep, we feel we're carrying such a burden and we've been turned over by that burden. Maybe it's a worry you've got, maybe it's just, I don't know, something that's going on in your life, and you just need a hand to him. No, your Lord's your shepherd, and remember today you lack nothing, and he's looking to refresh you today. Let's just pray, and maybe you just want to open your hands before God, and let's just acknowledge today God's longing to be active. God is looking to be active in our lives. Father God, we thank you for that. You know, you refresh our souls. You are active in our lives, and we thank you for that. And Lord, you know, many, even this week past, many of us were turned over by the announcement that we're back in a lockdown again. And we just pause, Father God, and we just ask that you would just, through the power of your Spirit, help us to get back on our feet again. Help us to walk on the paths that you have for us. And just do that renewing work in our lives that we all need. Father God, we commit ourselves to that life-giving practice of repentance. You know, fixing ourselves for what you've got going forward, you know, just coming before you and being vulnerable before you and saying, you know, I keep getting grumpy because I'm so fed up with not being able to get out. I feel I'm getting more angry or whatever it might be. God, help me with this. Just whatever it is now, just lay in your heart right now. If there's something that you know, you just need to ask God to forgive you for. Lord, we thank you for your cleansing work in our lives, your forgiving power in our lives. Yeah. And just as we're, just as I'm praying there, just a picture just came into my mind, one final picture, and then we'll come in and worship. You know, you'll have seen the picture of the shepherd carrying the sheep. Kind of across his shoulders, he's maybe holding the two front legs here and the two back legs here, and the shepherd's carrying the sheep. And I just think God just wants to say to some of you today that that picture's for you, and he's carrying you, he's found you, and he's got you, and he's holding on to you, and that is a great picture for us to finish our time together in God's word and move now into a time of worship. So let's, you know, the Lord's our shepherd. We lack nothing. Let's just praise and worship him. He refreshes your soul. He is active in your life. And so let us lift our voices now to him in worship. God bless you.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves his breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you will take my pain. That you will bear my cross. You will lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who rules a nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Much, Mark, for bringing God's work to us today. Again, we so appreciate those that have been able to lead us in worship as well.
Yeah, tonight is our prayer time at 6:30 tonight, using the usual EMBC Zoom sign-in details. We just encourage you to come on and join in that. You know, some folks can't stay for the whole hour, so sometimes they just come on maybe 6:30 to 7, or you could come on 7:30, please feel free, you know, if you can join us for any of that time, it is a great time that we're having in prayer together. As always, we're here to help. David can help you with homeschooling?
Maybe not.
You know, homeschooling's back, certainly next week and for the January, and so we know that's going to be, well, that is pretty tough. So I'm not saying that David and I can help you with homeschooling, but we can certainly be praying for you. And as you know, if you have any sort of prayer needs or prayer requests, do send them down the prayer chain, or you can email us personally, and we can be praying for you as a staff team. So it's about enjoying the rest of today. And God bless you, and thank you for joining us today.